Hi, Symphony Church. Welcome to our morning devo. Today's passage is Acts chapter 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." And having sent into Macedonia 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And this is danger, not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" So the city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of his, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense of the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is a temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly, for we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Amen. Paul wrapped up his second missionary journey and is beginning his third one here. And in today's chapter, we see that God did will for Paul to return to Ephesus, which he made a pit stop in the previous chapter. God willed for Paul to return to Ephesus so much that he stayed for nearly 3 years. Today's chapter is so dramatic that I think they should make it into a movie or something. For today's Devo, I will focus on verse 11 onward. It says that God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. I mean, even handkerchiefs or aprons like Jesus were touched by him were being carried away for the sick, and they were being healed and delivered from diseases and evil spirits. Now, some Jewish exorcists saw this power and tried to basically copy and paste this formula. The sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, spoke to those who had evil spirits using the name of Jesus and Paul. The evil spirits answered, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And then the spirits overtook the sons of Sceva, mastered them, and they left naked and wounded. Now, why did the spirits overtake them? Wasn't Jesus' name recognized and powerful? Well, these exorcists thought that Jesus' name was a formula and wanted to exercise his power for their own gain and recognition. You see, Paul had the authority as co-heirs with Christ to cast out demons and to heal. These sons of Sceva did not know Christ, but just wanted his power. The spirits basically said, "We know Jesus and his power, but who are you? You have none," and overtook them. Verse 17 says that fear fell upon both Jews and Greeks, and that the name of Jesus was magnified. And then an incredible thing happens. Believers who were still practicing occult ways, which was quite cultural and ingrained in their upbringing, began bringing and burning their magic books and idols. The value of them were so big, it was 50,000 pieces of silver, which scholars today estimate to be several million dollars. This is absolutely insane. God's power was made known, and all these young believers, they realized, "Hey, I can't believe in Jesus and follow all these other things." Well, after this astonishing event, Demetrius, a silversmith, basically leads this riot. You see, if people are throwing away their idols, their business and trade as silversmiths are ruined. That's where they get their money from. He recognizes that Paul persuaded not just Ephesians, but most of Asia to turn away from false gods. And so in this riot, this huge assembly, they begin to cry out, "Great is the Artemis of the Ephesians," for 2 hours in the theater. If you don't know, Artemis in Greek mythology is the goddess of animals, vegetation, and childbirth, all things necessary to the survival of humans. And the Temple of Artemis was a prize place. In fact, it's considered to be one of the 7 wonders of the world. Now, despite this crazy riot, God protected Paul and his companions and used the town clerk to reason with the crowd that they would be charged with rioting from the Romans. It's a absolutely wild story, and I just wonder what that would look like today in today's context. Now, I don't think Christians are worshiping Artemis here in Boston, but there are other idols that our hearts lust after. We want to worship God and believe, but we also want to say yes to other worldly things. The past couple years, we've seen a rise in occult practices like astrology, crystals, and horoscopes in mainstream media. I was walking by Newberry Street the other day and walked past at least 5 tarot card reading stations right there on the street. These are not of God. But even more than that, we are locked into other things. I remember a pastor preaching that although we don't carry idols around our pockets, we do carry one thing with us all the time, our phone. And with our phone comes a love of comfort, convenience, mindlessness, thirst for likes and recognition, curating our image, addiction to pornography, media, games, an avenue to constantly track finances, fitness, investments, etc. And today's passage makes it very clear that the love of money, the love of other things before God, cannot coexist with following God with a wholeheartedness. We cannot have both. If we could take the idols of our hearts and burn them just like the Ephesians did, I wonder what items would come out and how much the value would be today. Worshipping Artemis is part of Greek culture, but God calls us to be countercultural. And sometimes when we walk in the holiness of God, there will be pushback, just like the riot in Ephesus. It's not easy, but can we be a people that can prevail and give our wholehearted love to God and God alone? The other day, I was part of a worship panel at a class at Gordon. One of the worship pastors there was sharing his little nugget of wisdom, which was this: one yes to God equals 1,000 no's to the world. Again, one yes to God equals 1,000 no's to the world. So to close, let's reflect. Let's reflect and say yes to God and identify the worldly things that we need to say no to. Is God calling you to lay down and burn an idol? Perhaps it's been something you've been struggling with for a while now, and sometimes maybe you feel hopeless, but I want to encourage you with this last verse this morning, verse 20. It says, "So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." The word of God will prevail and his power will be made known in his people. And that includes you and me. So let us commit this day to God and say yes to him today. Let us lay down our lives, lay down our idols, to take up our cross and to say yes to him and to love him through our obedience. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. I'm just amazed by how you worked through the Ephesians, how your word truly prevailed and your power was made known. So much so that all these Christians that were living their life according to the world decided to bring forth and lay down and literally burn them at the stake to really release that into your hands. And so, God, similarly, I pray, God, for our church. Help us, Lord, to be a people that aren't just satisfied with the world, but that we would want to constantly release and to let go and to surrender our idols to you, God, and that we would receive your power, that we would receive your forgiveness each day, that we would receive the fullness of your presence, and that we would love you in obedience. So thank you, God. We love you. And in Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Amen.